Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hi, everybody. This is Sid Garza-Hillman back with the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome back. This is episode number 4. The big quattro. I'm excited about the way I pronounce quattro, and also that I've got 4 episodes under my belt. I'm pretty happy about the way things are going, and I'm happy that you're with me. And thanks again for all the wonderful feedback that I've been getting each week for 4 weeks. So, real quick for anybody joining us for the first time, I'm a certified nutritionist and health coach. I am author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto out now on Roundtree Press. And I work with clients all over the country and have a good time doing it. I used to be, well, technically still am a musician. I used to be a full-time indie rock guy and made my living as an actor. And through an odd turn of events, I'm now a practicing certified nutritionist and health coach. How fun life is. And a couple announcements. Well, one announcement actually is that I've mentioned a couple times that I'm in theory going to be speaking with Matt Frazier, the No Meat athlete. His book is out. Really good book. I did a little blurb on it and was wholeheartedly able to do that. No conflict there because it's a really good read. Anyway, he's got some events. He's on a book tour, and he's going to be in Oakland and San Francisco at the end of this month. And I think in the last podcast, I was mentioning that, but I hadn't totally confirmed. So here's, this is the truth. Here's how I believe that it's fully confirmed. I found out by listening to the Rich Roll podcast, because Matt Frazier was on the Rich Roll podcast recently, the most recent episode. And so I'm listening to that, and Rich is asking Matt about his book tour, and he says, yeah, and then I'm going to be in Oakland and San Francisco, and I'm going to be having Sid Garza-Hillman with me. And that's how I found out that I am confirmed for those events. And so I thought, it occurred to me that maybe podcasting is like the next frontier of communication. So we started with, you know, letter writing, and then like the telephone and the, you know, telegraph, then telephone, and then we got the cell phones going, and now we're everyone's emailing and texting. But maybe beyond that is podcasting. So like we'll just communicate, and I'll be like, you know, thanks, Matt. If you're listening to this, awesome. I will be there in Oakland and San Francisco. And also, Lisa, my wife, if you are stopping by the grocery store on your way back from the run, can you pick up some oranges? And we're just going to do that, and it'd be great. So everybody will have podcasts, and we'll just kind of throw it out there, and that's how that goes. And so that's how I know, and that's the story, is I will be, I think, in October 28th and the 30th. I think the 28th is in Oakland, and the 30th of October is in San Francisco, and I could totally be getting those reversed. So the best thing to do is probably check the No Meat Athlete site, but I will also put those on my site, which is transitioningtohealth.net. So I wanted to share one story by way of an introduction to today's talk, and that is that I was on a run this morning. So I'm training for a marathon, and coincidentally or not, I am using the No Meat Athlete marathon training plan, which is super cool, and it's been working really well for me. So I'm on my run this morning, and it was a long one. It was 14 miles. It's the longest I've ever run. And so I did it great and felt really good about it. And but I was heading out, and I run early on Sunday mornings. So it was about 6:30, and I was running along the coast on this, what they call the Hall Road. And the first part of the run is by this motel, and there's these balcony, you know, each room has a balcony overlooking the ocean. So once in a while, I'm out there early. Once in a while, there's somebody standing there just kind of having their moment, you know, in the morning with a piece. And I'm usually the only guy out on the path at that point. It's still kind of dark up here. And so anyway, I'm running by and there's this woman standing on the balcony. And as I run by, she's an older woman. She looks down at me as I run by and she goes, "Good for you." And excuse me. And I was like, "Mommy." No, I wasn't. That's totally not true. I just thought, what a nice, she totally did not need to communicate with me at all. Like I was kind of in my little world. She was too. But I just thought, what a nice thing to say, like, good for you. And so the whole rest of the run, I was like, good for me. You know, I'd pass runners and I'd think to myself, totally good for me. And it was just such a kind thing. Like, what a nice thing to say. There's totally no reason to do that. And most people wouldn't ever even want to comment on a runner. And she just kind of was like, good for you. I was like, yeah, totally good for me. And I felt like saying, you know, good for you back. You're enjoying the morning by yourself. And I think that that's super cool. So I wanted to kind of throw that out there. As I'm not sure how to relate that to today's topic, but I'm gonna. And one last little tidbit is I've been running in these barefoot. I'm a barefoot runner. I've been running these New Balance Minimus because I've been on some trails that have some pretty sharp rocks. And recently on those trails, my left foot has been getting nailed by these rocks and this one part of my foot. And I thought, well, maybe I bruised it there and now it's just extra sensitive. And I keep forgetting to look into it or whatever, and I don't. And so for some reason today, I didn't get hurt because I'm on this like a normal haul road kind of asphalty kind of thing. But after the run, it occurred to me, I was like, I should check the bottom of my shoe. And at the bottom of my shoe, in the exact place that I've been getting beaten regularly, there's a hole in the shoe, literally a hole in the shoe. And so maybe that's why I've been getting hurt, because there's a hole in the bottom of my shoe that I did not understand. I was thinking about everything except for checking the friggin' shoe, which would have been the mystery solver in the moment. So a little message, everybody. You can think and overthink about bruising and everything else, or you can check the shoe. And if there's a hole in the shoe, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why I was getting hurt in the exact same place. And I was like, why does my right foot never get hurt? Why is it always my left? I mean, you know, totally, I was just thinking it, right, taking it to the end of the subject, you know, as far as I could take it. Except for, you know, could have solved it way earlier. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is perfection. And this comes up a lot in my practice and with the people that I coach. And I want to talk about it today because I think for some reason, I don't actually know the reason, it has been infused in our culture. Maybe it's related to religion and that sort of idea of God as perfection, and then we should try to measure up to that concept. I don't really know. What I do know is that with health and happiness, I think that oftentimes perfection actually prevents us, or the concept of perfection actually prevents us from achieving greater health and happiness. And what I mean by that is this: we have some idea when it comes to health and happiness that there is a thing that we must achieve and that when we get there, we will be done. And it is just not that way. And I liken it sometimes with some clients, I liken it to yoga, because we kind of all understand, or not all of us, but you know, some people understand, especially people who practice yoga, that yoga is a practice. There's no, you don't do yoga for five and a quarter years and go, cool, got it, done. What's next? Like, people practice yoga their whole lives because it's a practice. And so health and happiness, when you look at it that way, can kind of fall under that same sort of rubric, and it's a practice. It's something to continue in your life. And when we try to put an idea of perfection in our minds about how it's supposed to look when we are healthy and happy, then we are looking forward and we're not present to actually possibly being healthy and happy and not even realizing it, because there's always going to be a next frontier. And nobody, and I don't care who you're talking about, is perfect in that way. You know, like, they're not following a plan perfectly. They're not running perfectly. I don't even know. Those concepts don't even match up. And so what I was thinking about today is we can kind of, and this is why I like doing podcasts on the days that I run, because I can zone out and think about what I'm going to talk about. So I was thinking about, there's two ways to look at perfection in a way that that might lead us to greater health and happiness. So one way is we just toss the concept altogether. We just go, we explore the idea of just bailing on perfection and go like, you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be follow a plan perfectly. I'm going to just do what I can do. And that's that. The other way to look at perfection could be that maybe what you're doing is perfect in that moment, and that it's not a comparative term. It's not like, well, I'm not perfect because I've got this external picture of what I've been told is perfect and I don't match up to that, and therefore I'm not perfect. When perfect is what you do that is best for you, then you can easily achieve perfection. And that I think, either way of looking at that, I think is a healthier and maybe will lead you to greater happiness than saying, I've got to match up to this idea that's external to me that I didn't come up with myself, and that if I don't measure up, then it, you know, it's gone. And I think that also the way that perfection can prevent us from achieving health and happiness is that we have this idea that if we don't do it perfectly, then just chuck it. It's done. So if I don't follow the diet perfectly, it's not going to do it at all. And if I don't go to the gym 5 days a week and spend an hour and a half there, you know, from start to finish, I forget it. I'm not going to do it. You know, and that's, and people, you know, I work with, they struggle with that. You know, they struggle that if they can't do something perfect. I've known people who have quit yoga after two classes because I'm just not good at it. And I didn't like, I'm not good at it. Well, who's good at yoga? First of all, who's good at yoga after two classes, period? But also, who's measuring? And there's nothing to measure against. Like, you do what you can in yoga. So it's this concept, I think, that holds us back. We think if I can't do what I've been told is the idea of, you know, perfect meditation, let's say, if I can't, you know, sit for 30 minutes, then what's the point? Well, the point is that it ain't about sitting for 30 minutes. The point is that it really does come down to, for me, my approach, small steps. And I have this battle, and part of this podcast, if you get nothing else out of it, listen to it, because I will remind you every week that if you're even just listening to this podcast, you're doing perfectly. Even doing the smallest steps is perfect. You want to know why? Because health and happiness are not about the individual parts of health and happiness. And what I mean by that is, it's not just about food, or it's not just about exercise. And when you make it just about food, sure, you're not going to, you know, be perfect. You're going to be upset because you're not perfect, because you didn't follow the diet perfectly, and because you cheated because you had a craving and you couldn't stack up to the book plan that you had, or the 21-day cleanse you didn't make. And so therefore it's not perfect. Well, forget it. I'm just going to go back to eating donuts because I couldn't stick out a 21-day cleanse that I totally was not ready for. But the key thing is, it's because you weren't ready for it. And the fact that you're not ready for it is a mental issue. That's not a food issue. That's a psychological issue. That's a mindfulness issue. It's really not even an issue. It's just, where are you at in the process? When you look at the whole picture of health and incorporate happiness to that, if you're miserable and unhappy even trying to follow a diet that you're not ready for, that's not going to make you healthy and happy. If you can't match up to the perfection because you're measuring it only against your food, And that's in the physical thing, and that's it, you're not going to get there. You will not get there. It's just not going to happen. It's not how health and happiness work. When you consider where you're at in your life, and that goes for your mental state, but also just your logistical reality, how busy you are in your family life and all this kind of stuff, sometimes the smallest steps are all you can do. And that, guess what? That's perfect. That's perfect. Because you're building on a behavior pattern. You're doing whatever you can do. And what I advocate and what I tell my clients is, when you do the best you can on a given day, that's perfect. Like when I talk to my clients, I go, "What did you do the thing that we talked about doing, the very teeny little step?" And they go, "Yeah." I go, "Great." And they go, "But." And I go, no but, perfect day, because that's where you're at in the process. That's where you're at in the process. I'm going to hammer this home because what I am up against is just a barrage of diets and quick fixes, and we think we are going to get to perfection as fast as possible, and it's that idea is so flawed because there's no perfection, and even if there were, we ain't going to get there as fast as possible through some quick fix, you know, diet or cleanse. Ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And when we let go of the idea of perfection, then things like art, for instance, that are so enriching. I mean, I addressed art in my book. It's a health book, and I addressed art. Why? Because I think that we're naturally a creative species. I think the way that we use our brains is totally creative. You know, I was building bunk beds today. That's what I did today. I built my bunk beds for my twins with my wife, and we're building this bunk bed. And my daughter, who's 9, came in, and she wanted to help. And I had her doing this Allen wrench thing. And within like 2 seconds, she goes, oh, it's better if I do it this way. So her brain is already, she's like unscrewing this thing or screwing it in actually. And she already, it had a kind of a tight fit. And she already in 2 minutes created, you know, thought, was thinking about it and morphed it into a more efficient way to do it. Like her brain works that way. I think that humans have that ability to, we have a great learning curve. Like we can do something, and then within 5 minutes, we can figure out a cool way to do that and morph that. And how we bring creativity to, you know, to food. I mean, God, of course, it causes us problems sometimes, right? Because it's so freaking good what we've been able to do. But how creative is that? How creative is cooking? How creative is music and art and dance and all these amazingly beautiful things? And we've been doing this forever. We've been drawing on cave walls. We've been making music. We've been playing drums. We've been doing all these things. It's totally natural. But when we put the idea of perfection on top of that, we won't do art. Why? Because if you go to draw right now, you could suck compared to Van Gogh. But my point is first of all, it ain't about how good it is, because unless you're trying to sell your art, then go have at it. But guess what? That's going to take time. You have to develop that talent. You have to develop that art. But what I'm getting at is the creative process and what it feels like to create and how good it feels like to create. And I'm like the worst drawer in the entire world, but it feels good. I bought paints, you know, a few years back, and I thought I'm just going to try to paint. And, you know, the voice happens like, well, that kind of sucks. Like, that doesn't look good. Like, that's, I can't even draw a cup, you know, like all those kinds of critic things. But if you work through that and you do what you can, it's incredibly fulfilling. And that was before I even came up with my philosophy of even small steps. So I'm just all about like doodle on a piece of paper, but do it with intention and take 30 seconds if you're busy and draw a thing and then rip it up and throw it away. If you're embarrassed about it, fine. You know, you'll work through that, but you've got to dive in. But people think if I'm a bad drawer, I'm not going to draw at all. If I'm a bad artist, if I can't play an instrument, I'm not going to play an instrument at all. If I can't do it really well, then forget it. And those things are really prohibitive to health and happiness. They are prohibitive to a fulfilling life. There is no perfection in the way that whatever that thing is. So either accept that what you're doing by doodling on a piece of paper is perfect because that's what you're doing and where you're at in that process, so that's perfect, or just toss out the idea of perfection and see what it's like to just do something that, yeah, maybe people think it's bad, and maybe it is. I mean, I don't even know if they're objectively good art. Probably not, you know? And so, but it's the process. It's about the process. So, for instance, when it comes to meditation, you know, if I can't sit for 30 minutes, if I can't quiet my mind keeps wandering, you know, well, forget it. It's too frustrating. I can't do it. But what if you take a deep breath? You know, what if you take one deep breath right now? That's meditating. Sorry, but it is. It is meditating. When you take a deep breath, you are present. You're doing it with intention. You're in the moment. And when you're in the moment, your mind is silent. 2 seconds later, your mind's going to wander. Guess what? Everybody's does. But when you can break that down into one breath and you can leave a note on your steering wheel so that when you're driving to work, you take a few deep breaths, that's perfect. I mean, that's perfect. That's more breathing in that way than you would have done the day before. That's more intentional, deep breathing, relaxing breathing than you did the day before. That's perfect. because it is about the process and it's about how you feel in the process. It's not struggle and, you know, feeling horrible and frustrated and you know, battling this through this process, you know, so that eventually you can get to the end, you know. And sometimes I talk about, because I'm training for a marathon, it's sort of like the idea of the marathon, like it's out there. The idea of running the marathon is a goal that I've set for myself. And in a way, I could make the analogy that that's kind of like perfection. Perfection is, it could be, you know, interpreted this way, that if I run the marathon, then I've achieved that thing. But I can't run a marathon right now. I have to ease my way into it. I have to get to that process. But what I'm doing this time and that I haven't done in the past sometimes is I'm trying to make the process enjoyable. I'm trying to make the process enjoyable. And I'm also leaving the option of not doing it. You know, what if my goal changes? What if I get an opportunity where, you know, next month I'm asked to, you know, travel all through, you know, Europe talking about approaching the natural, you know, God, lucky Europeans. I mean, my God, you know, put down the plates of pasta and get on the approaching bandwagon. But if I did that, I'd have to chuck the marathon. So what? Or what if during this process I go, you know what? I kind of don't really want to do a marathon. It's kind of a hassle and it's not really my thing. I'm really okay with 10Ks. Great. Perfect. I mean, that's perfect. So we can have the liberating feeling of owning our own choices, setting our own goals, or worse yet, what if I don't finish the marathon? You know, these are things that I've battled with. My God, I not only have never run a marathon, I have not even run a marathon, but I'm already in my mind like, yeah, I haven't run one yet, but man, I think I want to do it in less than 4 hours. You know, I'm already got the, it'd be great if I've set these kinds of things and I'm really working through it and just paying attention to that voice inside my head, because what if I made it about finishing? What if I made it about just trying to finish? What if I made it about enjoying seeing what my body can do, knowing that if I don't finish the marathon, there'll be others or maybe there won't. But if I enjoyed the process along the way and I'm doing this really smartly, I've pushed myself too much in the past and I've paid for it with injury, you know, by pushing. And now I'm older, way older than I was when I started running, and I'm running better than I've ever run before. Why? Because I'm following a training plan that's reasonable and I'm having fun with it, and I've moved it around a little bit day by day. You know, I haven't actually locked to the training plan because my life is such that I, you know, take kids to school, pick them up, you know, I'm doing things like that. So I had to adjust the days a little bit, but basically I'm covering the training plan. And it's reasonable. I'm not pushing it. I'm not, if I feel tired, I take it easy. Today I ran 14 miles. I ran it 2 minutes per mile slower than my goal. That's the instruction that I was given for this. So I'm like, my mind's wandering. I'm thinking about the pot. I ran 14 miles. I'm thinking about the pot. I'm like, my mind's wandering. I'm not even stressed. It's like a really relaxing process. It's really, really nice. It's a relaxing process. I think that health and happiness are about long term. It's just, I know it's frustrating because people want to hear, you know, we conceptually get that quick fixes don't work. We conceptually understand that diets, for instance, don't work. We conceptually get it, and yet we are drawn again and again to what we think, well, this one is going to be different. This time is going to be different. And guess what? It's not. It's not how human health works. It's definitely not how happiness works. That's why people who win lotteries often, you know, kind of lose it, you know, or they go bankrupt. Like it's too fast. It's not how it should work. It's gambling. It doesn't buy you happiness. It does not buy you happiness. Money. Well, I think actually sometimes money does. My money one time bought me a 1975 Gibson 335 guitar, and that totally made me happy. So there are times when money has bought me happiness in the form of that Gibson that I then had to sell because I ran out of money. Man, that is a bummer. I think somebody in Florida owns it. Maybe they'll listen to the podcast and send it back to me for free. That would be pretty sweet. Anyway, but all joking aside, money, these kinds of things, when you get to them too fast, when you don't earn them, it's not the same thing. If I took some magic pill and could run a marathon tomorrow, it wouldn't feel good. Part of the issue, part of the thing for me is learning about myself in this process, building through that. That's why food is such a powerful, that's why I do daily check-ins with my clients, because food is such a, it's just so much not about just food. I mean, I can't do a plan and then go, here you go, good luck with that, because they're not going to stick to it. It's because they're going to go, if I don't have one day that I didn't follow Sid's plan perfectly, then I'm just going to chuck it all. And I want to work through the behaviors in relationship to food and all the things that come up around food. That's where I'm trying to get. Food's a symptom. If you're an emotional eater, it ain't about the food. It's about why are you trying to escape? Why are you trying to get that good feeling in that moment that isn't long lasting, but it's still you're searching to feel better in that moment. That is self-care. It is self-care. What I'm trying to say is, let's accept the premise that you're trying to take care of yourself, because that's a given. When you're an emotional eater, you are trying to take care of yourself. I just think it isn't an action that's going to yield you long-term health and happiness. So how can we get to what is causing you to get to that? How do we get to the root of the issue? Is it, you know, problems with your marriage, in which case I will recommend that you deal with that you go see a marriage counselor, or you know, that you work on that. If it's addictive personality, addictive kinds of things, I might recommend that you go to Overeaters Anonymous or something. I've done that with clients, because I'm not a psychologist, but I can work around food and the way that you behave with food, and I can put food in front of you that makes you think a little bit more, because it doesn't trip that little pleasure center as much. You enjoy it, but you don't get high from it, and you can kind of connect to yourself around food and start to notice things, and you can work through the idea that diets don't work and that there is no perfection, and that if you're not following a plan perfectly, it's because that's not where you're at. And so when you acknowledge that that's not where you're at, that's perfect. When you acknowledge that you're not at the point where you can go to a gym an hour and a half per day, and you may never be, but if that's your goal, great. But you better ease into it, because you're going to burn out. And people want to go, yeah, but I'm not losing weight fast enough. Yeah, but hey, you know what? Remember what the goal is. The goal is to be healthy, and the goal is to be happy. If you divorce those two and don't work together and put those together in the picture of your life, you won't achieve either. Health is dependent on happiness, and happiness is dependent on health. And that is the picture of the human body and the human species. And when we return by degrees and take small steps to include a little bit more of what's natural to us in the way that we think and the way that we eat and the way that we create and the way that we move our bodies, we can actually achieve this over time. And in the process, we can actually achieve it in the process. And that is the way that we can get this done. And it's just, it's a tough pill to swallow. It's like a, boy, it's a constant battle in a way, but I don't look at it as a battle. I look at it as a challenge, because I want to take that idea to the mat. I want to question and throw the whole idea of diets and, you know, plans and, you know, cleanses and all these kinds of things. I want to really call them into question, because I don't think it's helping anybody. I mean, I know it's not helping anybody. I mean, there's a reason why yo-yo diets, you know, there's a concept called yo-yo dieting, because that's what people do. They go from one thing to the next, and they go from one little, you know, mindfulness meditation book to the next. And the thing is, if it's yielding the happiness that you want in your life, then it's working, and that's perfect too. But for most people, those things are a little... they're illusions. And when we get sucked up into those, we suffer as a result. And our relationships suffer as a result. And we go up and down, up and down, up and down. What I advocate for is a nice, steady incline over time. How much time, Sid? As much time as it takes. Because you know what? The more you build and the more you take little steps and just kind of take it easy, it speeds up the process. It really does. If you actually slow down for a minute and take it easy and start with really minute steps and build when you're ready to build, and if you build too fast, back off a little bit and say, well, that was a too big of a step. I'm going to kind of half that step and I'm going to do a little bit less on that. Then over time, it first of all, you get to a place faster, but not really. I don't even want to say that. What you do is you start to enjoy life right in the moment. It's like it's almost like you achieve what you would try to achieve from a diet, but you don't. But you do that in taking small steps before you even get to even significant amounts of steps. Like, because it starts the process of being mindful about what you do and being mindful about how happy you are day to day and how healthy you are day to day. And you're taking action and there's ownership and power in action. You feel empowered. Your confidence, it builds confidence to do something every day. If somebody hands you a marathon, there's no confidence there. When I run a marathon, when I do, and I hope it's this time on December 8th, and if anybody wants to run it with me, it's going to be in Sacramento. It's called the California International. I'll be there. Send me a tweet or an email if you're going to do it, because I want to, it'd be fun to see people out there for it. But anyhow, when and if I do it, it's going to be because I earned it, because I took the time, because I've been training for almost seven months for this thing. I'm not trying to jam it in a month and trying to cut corners on this thing. I know what happens when I do that. I have learned that about myself, finally. You know, I finally had to learn that about myself, that I want to ease my way in. Well, somehow people are kind of get that about marathon or running training. They get that they can't run a marathon tomorrow, but somehow with food, they think, well, I'm just going to start a diet tomorrow. I'm going to start a diet tomorrow. It doesn't work, and it's okay. It's not supposed to work. It's totally unnatural. It would be cuckoo if it did work. If that kind of thing worked, you'd be kind of talk about imperfection. You'd be an imperfect human if you could follow a diet starting tomorrow for the rest of your life. You would be an imperfect human, because humans don't work that way. We have behavior patterns that are ingrained in us over years, and to change those, we have to ease our way in, but most importantly, we have to start thinking about it. And by thinking about it, we gain confidence and are able to actually make real, real change. And we can do that by taking minute steps, things that we can do every single day. If you can't do it every day, the step's too big. If you cannot sustain something every day, back off. Take it back down. If you can't do 30 minutes of exercise, do 15. If you can't do 15, do 10. If you can't do 10, do one. 1 minute. Can't do 1 minute? 30 seconds. And I'm not joking. And if you think that that's crazy, if you do 30 seconds of exercise tomorrow more than you would have today, guess what? That's perfect. That is perfect. And I will leave you with that today. I got more coming. And what's cool is I have two guests coming up. I won't tell you who they are yet, but really cool. I've been getting contacted and I've been making contact with people to join in and once in a while do guest kinds of things, interviews, although I don't really want them to be interviews. I'm kind of thinking just more of a conversation kind of thing. We'll see how that plays out, and I'm totally open to however that goes. But I have two guests coming up this weekend. I have one booked on Friday and one on Sunday, and I'll launch those the following week. And let me know what you think. And in the meantime, I wish everybody well, and thanks again for joining me on the Approaching the Natural podcast. And hopefully I'll see some of you on October 28th and 30th, Oakland and San Francisco. Check my site, transitioningtohealth.net. Or you can also find me at the Wellness Center where I'm the programs director, which is the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well. And that website is livingwellmendocino.com. And this podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort. So thanks again to Joan and Jeff for giving me the resources to allow this to keep on trucking. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you next week.
Underground. Counting days just for fun, adding up the time till it was done. And I'm walking back and forth to forget where I've begun. And I'm circling wise and foolish to see which is more fun. Yes, I'm certain.